So, Brad, what does happen when broads call BS?
Apparently, I get roasted with golf jokes, called out on the ladder to the bar adventures, and schooled on burying beetles and leadership theory, all in under 60 minutes.
That's right. This crossover with a broadcast for manufacturers is pure gold. We dive into the real fears leaders are facing today. There's economic uncertainty, zigzagging decision-making, and a generational gap in the workforce.
But it's not all doom and gloom. We're talking solutions, confidence over fear, leading with action, not hiding in the sand. And yes, we unpack why Gen Z might be leapfrogging everyone in leadership promotions.
So if you've ever wondered how not to respond in uncertain times, or if you just need a laugh at Brad's expense, this is your episode.
And there's a lot of those. It's bold, it's raw, and yes, the broads definitely call BS.
So grab your headphones and hit play, because this is one episode you do not want to miss.
Let's go.
Hey, we're live. This is what it says.
Oh,
wow.
What? Wait a minute.
It does
what's the technology
live?
Saying?
Yeah. Come on, let's go.
So they're ready. The people are ready.
The people are ready.
Let's give them something. Brad.
Something.
Brad.
The people are ready.
The people want to hear from you, Brad.
I doubt that.
Maybe we should just start with a Brad joke. Let's just soften things up. Let's just.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Aaron. You start.
Oh, I don't have the box. What was it? The box? I got a good one. Okay, guys. Why does Brad take an extra pair of socks when he goes golfing?
In case I get a hole in one. I've had two, by the way. Two holes in one. Yeah. Not the same sock. Not the same days.
But was like that on a regular golf course or like Peppa?
Yeah, regular. Ooh. Regular golf courses.
Oh, I'm getting hole in ones in mini golf.
184 yards and 147 yards.
Nice. That's awesome. Nice.
I think that's great. I don't know. I don't golf. Do you get something for that? Like with the Peppa, do you get a free beer or something?
I bought a plaque for the one on my first one.
Oh, is that your
plaque? Look at you.
It's sitting over there. And second one I didn't do anything with.
The first one's way more exciting than the second.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I didn't see the ball go in either one of the times. So.
Oh.
How would you see it? Isn't it far away?
Well, you can see the greens typically, but where the pin locations were and the hole location couldn't see. I did not see. My buddy saw my first one go in, but nobody saw the second one go in. We thought it was online.
Did it really go in? But did it really go in then?
It did.
Nobody saw it. My question.
It did, because it was in the bottom of the cup, Steve.
But was it? That's
it was, because I had to reach in and pull the ball out. Why are we picking on me?
Oh,
it's fun.
It was in the notes that's what we were going to do right now.
I got a memo. I was like, I heard, like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to give Brad shit. But if I'm wrong about that, correct me now, because I got like, minutes upon minutes of shit to give you, Brad. So
great. I wasn't sure this is what that meant when broads call BS, but I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's welcome our listeners and viewers. It's a crossover episode of a broadcast for manufacturers and blue collar BS. We've got a lot to pack in today, heavily focused on today's leadership and what we can bring to the table. Let's start with some introductions. I can go first. Happy to do that. I'm Lori Hybe, CEO and founder of Keystone Click and one of the broads on a broadcast for manufacturers. Aaron, why don't you go next?
Yeah. Hey, folks. I'm also one of the broads in the broadcast for manufacturers. Just so you know, today we're missing Chris Harrington. She is the boss of all, and she's bossing it with her family today. So hope she has a great day. I am a podcast nerd. I love podcasts of all types, but I am especially fond of Brad Herta's podcast because I think it might really be the second best manufacturing podcast on the airwaves. Second best. All right.
Number two.
All right.
Number two.
Okay. Brad.
Brad Herta. I am the founder of Vision Forward Business Solutions, along with the co-host of the Blue Collar BS podcast. And we are located here in Wisconsin. And I love the manufacturing segment. And I can't wait to catch all the shit from all y'alls. And see how this all goes.
Steve Doyle, also co-host of the Blue Collar BS podcast. Bring the S aspect to the BS.
You are the S.
I am.
You are
number two.
You are the S.
Number two.
I am the B. You are the S.
Yeah.
I learned in our kind of planning call for this that the BS can go a lot of different ways, apparently.
It can go quite a few different ways.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Brad and Steve is a simple, approachable route, I'd say.
Yes. But I.
Yeah.
Yes.
Business solutions was provided.
Business solutions. Strategy.
You can do business strategy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll leave some creative opportunity and brainwaves for the listeners here.
Yeah. If anybody wants to comment, if anybody has any, you know, and by the way, this is not safe for work. So I hope that you people have your headphones on. Not PG. Okay.
All right. Now we got that out of the way. Let's talk about the topic of uncertainty and leadership. I know we all kind of skimmed this article that was published by Russell Reynolds on Global Leadership Monitor, which I thought was really interesting. And today, there's a lot of uncertainty in the world. You know, every industry is facing uncertainty. And I think it's a really important topic to cover, especially when it comes to leadership and how to lead. Because it's not just the employees, but it's the leaders. It's everyone, consumers, buyers, everyone's got some sort of fear in there. And when this leadership report, which we'll include the link in the show notes, there's a number of rankings, and the top kind of fear or threat right now that's ranking number one is economic uncertainty. And 63% of those that were interviewed, which was about 3,000 leaders, identified economic uncertainty growth as a top threat to organizational health in the next 12 to 18 months. And I just want to bring up the conversation and have some discussion around how do leaders lead when this is a major fear that's going on in their brains. It's keeping them awake at night. And how do you show up and be present in your organization every single day?
I'll take a very pragmatic approach. You can either lead through fear or you can lead through confidence. And that's, you can't control what's going to happen in the economy, but you can control what you can do with your own organization and with your own people and what they see, and they see how you behave and how you react. Cutting your way to prosperity is not a good idea because the accountant said so. As you know, as well as everybody else on that shop floor or in there, that you're going to need those resources when you execute the things you're going to execute, or you're going to completely dissatisfy your customers because you can't deliver on your promises.
Sure.
Thanks, Brad. That was great. Greg, moving along.
I appreciate that, but confidence is hard when there's uncertainty, right? I feel like those two kind of can butt heads.
Yes, but you're the leader.
Yeah.
Right. So are you confident in what you're doing to lead your organization, or are you going to lead out of that fear of uncertainty? Because everybody's going to smell it and see it, right? That is why I hate the election cycles, because everybody listens to what people say. They listen to what's being said. Nobody pays attention to the actions that are going on.
Sure.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what I feel is going on right now with this uncertainty, is everybody's listening to words and not paying attention to actions.
Sure. I can see that.
That's true, but I think maybe we are broads calling BS. I believe that's
fair.
I think the paralysis by analysis is a little bit what we're talking around here. So when you're paralyzed by not knowing, the uncertainty kind of freezes you, and then you can't make, or you maybe choose not to take the steps. So the actions then become sort of which actions to take. And so it just ends up in kind of a doom cycle. And I take your point, like, don't just, pee your pants and say I'm out. You gotta venture into this new world with confidence. How can we help people get there? How can we help just in this conversation today? we're there for you, right? Like mm-hmm. our listeners, you guys, we're here for you. This is what we love to do. We love to offer what little knowledge we can pry out of our pea brains to right. help you get what you need so that you can take those actions and aren't stuck being like unable to make a decision.
Yeah. Let's actually talk about what actually happens when we can't make a decision, the analysis, paralysis, and not making a decision. What does it do to workforce morale?
It goes down. I mean, overall morale goes down.
Morale goes down. Everybody starts talking. Mm-hmm. You're no longer working. You're no longer producing. At the end, now you have lost hours. You have lost profit margins by your own doing because you failed to take action. But you actually took action by not doing a damn thing. And it sends a message to all your other employees that it's okay not to do anything because, I can't do anything because I don't know, I don't know which way the government's going to blow today. I don't know because the government's doing this, I don't know what that means for my business. So I'm going to pull the ostrich effect and shove my head in the sand. And all your employees see that. And what does that do? It stifles creativity and it continues to promote negativity in your organization.
I would think it's okay to say, I don't know, but I think you yes. need to move forward. And I think correct. That's where like that common, the common path needs to be. It's okay to be transparent. I don't know what's going to happen. This is what I believe is the path we need to take to protect ourselves or whatever, based on what I'm observing today.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes. But in that statement you just made, Laura, you have made a decision to sure. move down this path.
Correct.
Versus yeah. the body language or you're sitting in a meeting and, yeah, I think we should do that. Let's give it a few more weeks, see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
That is indecision. That is creating waste of energy and time for people to go tell stories. I am confident right now, Laura, you are putting out your proposals that you know darn well. Things that you can do for your target audience and for your manufacturing client, you know darn well if they take action, they're going to see results over the course of time.
For sure, mm-hmm. without a doubt.
And it's like, we don't know, this sector's soft or this or that. But yes, all of those things just allow others to get further ahead.
Mm-hmm. There's another danger sign, though. I've got a friend, she works for a small manufacturing firm based in Wanakee. And for our non-Wisconsin folks, that's here in Wisconsin over near Milwaukee. And she's getting zigzags out of her leadership. Mm-hmm. We're doing this week. Oh, nope, the winds of change. We're doing that this week. And so they're taking action, but those actions are not towards a long-term goal. They're reactive. And so I think that's another warning sign that leadership needs to take a deep breath and recalibrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's more a change management issue then, right?
Mm-hmm. I would agree. Yeah, the zigzag's probably just as bad as no decision.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So, because now you can't trust anything that's being said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is in response to the tariffs. That they just are kind of like two steps forward, one step back. And I think that's sort of, the economic uncertainty is what percentage tariffs is that? A large percentage, mm-hmm. I would guess. It has a name. It's causing problems.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The question that I have on this, and it comes back to the generational aspect. What have you all seen from a generational aspect of how the different generations handle this type of uncertainty?
Can I just come back one second to the tariff thing?
Sure, go for it.
Just for a moment, right? So there is, nobody knows what's all happened, right? We hear the words, but we don't know all the actions that were taken.
Yep.
Right? I had a friend of mine go to a car dealership where that dealership was telling, there's $4,000 worth of tariffs on your vehicle. Well, that's not true. Because of the brand that it is and where their manufacturing cycle is, but there's opportunity for we're a capitalist society and we're going to take advantage of things along the way. There is a trade compliant. Reed Smith has a trade compliance resource hub tariff tracker that's out there that tells you what is in place and not in place and durations and times and deadlines and things like that. So if you are use resources, find out what those things are so you can make appropriate decisions and react accordingly so you're not zigzagging. Sorry, Aaron. Yep. Just we can go back now. iPod. I can put the link. Can I put the link in the comments there? Will it show up?
Please. You can sure try.
I can try.
We can get that out to folks, right?
Yeah,
that's really good advice because I mean, information is everything right now. To avoid the paralysis and to avoid the zigzagging, paralysis and zigzag, those are our bad guys. And also the young people, another problem. Am I right, Steve? The generations, it's the young people. Is that what you were getting at?
Well,
were you going to talk about millennials or are you one? What's going on?
Oh, this is pick on Steve time.
Wow. I mean, fine. If you want to put me in some young category, by all means, go for it. By all means, I'll lean into that. As long as I'm not lumped in the millennial category, I'm good.
But you are.
No, I appreciate your question. And actually, I like that Brad kind of deviated from it for a short minute because it gave me time to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a huge divide. I think the younger generations are excited for change and they don't really, there's, I think, a level of ignorance because they don't necessarily, they haven't really lived through a lot of economic disruption. So they don't have that life experience to know some of the pains that we and our parents and grandparents have experienced.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of stress and anxiety for those that have lived through it because it is extremely painful emotionally, financially. And we've seen these and we've read these stories and we've experienced it personally that we don't want to go through that again. So I think there's a lot of that fear lingering right now.
Yep.
And employees are looking to leaders to say, we cannot have this happen again. The more senior folks, that's at least my kind of take on it.
Okay. All right. Hey, Boomer Brad, what do you got?
So, yeah, thanks, Steve. You're a dick.
Yeah.
Number one. You are correct, Lori. There is that difference of what's all been experienced. But however, those experiences that you guys have, that you being younger and the folks younger than you, right? COVID had a different impact on that activity.
Correct.
Comparatively. Like, so my son who graduated 2020 out of university, his impact of COVID is way different than my impact of COVID and perception, right? 9/11, very different impact for me than it was for my kids at that time and younger, right? So there's a lot of, and because they are so much more connected, there are more things around the world that have a greater impact on the younger generations than I will ever come to understand or know. Mm-hmm. And being aware of that activity and what's happening and open to upward communication through an organization is really, really important to pay attention and get the voice. Usually what happens is everybody thinks, when I share my voice, that means we should do what I said. That's not what being heard means.
Yep.
Being heard doesn't mean it's your decision. Being heard means you get input or at least get some idea into a seat at the table along the way. And I think that's what's missing in many manufacturing worlds right now is in construction space. They're not getting enough seats at the table of people that can make an impact to move things faster because of some of that fear activity that's going on along the way.
Yeah. Steve.
Aaron. Yes.
Rock, scissors, paper.
I feel like you're humming because you have something to say and you're waiting.
I am
ready. Bring it.
I am. Bring
Let's
it.
Hear it.
So think of the different generations and how they actually lead. So when we talk boomers, how have they honestly led when there's uncertainty? Do they lead through a nurturing environment, talking it through?
No,
they're leading. They typically are doubling down on control and trying to control. They're fear-based and they're doubling down on control, micromanaging, very aggressive, very forceful from a fear perspective. And what does that do to the rest of the employees? So if you think about it, Gen Z runs from fear. They're going to bolt in general. There are some people that are going to face it head on, but in general, they're not looking for to work for fear mongers. They really want to work for authentic leaders that talk out things, get their input in things, not give them a directive and just tell them to shut up and go away and figure it out. You have the Gen Xers, when they're in charge, they're hiding their fear, right? We all have it, but we mask it really well.
What do you mean we?
Shut up. I mean we.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean we, right? But there's cracks in that, and we hide it, and we don't really want to be as honest as we can be, which the millennials really want some level of honesty, but they truly can't handle the truth.
Oh, man, I just saw our numbers drop.
Yeah.
Because they're working from home listening to us.
Come back. Come back.
Being honest, and you can't handle it. But when we look at the different generations, how we interact, every generation, yes, there's a lot of things we talk about in generalities, but there's truth in those generalities, and how we show up for each other is really what matters. So if we continue to lead by fear, we're just pushing people away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
You're going all Glennon Doyle on us over here. Brene Brown is knocking on the door.
High five habits.
I love it. That was awesome. I mean, I really like what you're saying. You know what's interesting about the generational stuff is it's so appealing. You know, it's a little controversial, like generalizing people. But all of those things are a little bit true for everyone in different, you know, amounts. And we can all recognize the masking of the fear, the running from the fear. Those are familiar to us. And to talk about them in terms of what does that mean as a leader? Because as a leader, good leadership will, all of those responses to fear will be, you'll usher them through the hard times if you are an effective leader. So I think that's, those are really great observations, Steve.
Well, thank you. All right, back to Brad. Back to ripping on Brad.
Like that, man.
Yeah, that, I like
our show next week. Going to suck this out. Yeah, you do. Yes, you like these broads. I get it.
How could you not like us? Come on.
Right.
That is a true statement.
I mean, I've got more Brad jokes. I can go there. Okay, let's see. I think I've got. Oh, this. I love this one. All right.
Of course.
Why did Brad bring a ladder to the bar? Because he heard the drinks are on the house. I gotta get a drum set next time we do this. I can
have a little sound bite ready to roll. Heads up next time.
Does this platform have a little sound, like insert sound?
Yeah, thing? I can. I just gotta set it up in advance. That's all. Okay.
Does it have a clown horn?
I can do whatever your heart desires, girl.
Oh, well, that sounds great. Well, just, now's a good time to bring it up. That the article that Lori mentioned, folks, we'll have a link to for you somewhere to take a look because it's very interesting. And then it's really nice because there's a companion piece that kind of gives some advice to respond to these things. Mm-hmm. And they're really talking about global leadership and these large companies. Well, interestingly, I don't know if you guys saw this, Wisconsin Manufacturing Commerce just did something quite similar. They just released a very similar results from a survey of, it was 208 manufacturing businesses here in the state of Wisconsin. And something that really struck me, and I don't think there's an answer to this, and I know you guys talk a lot about talent acquisition, the labor force, was that talent and hiring has gone down dramatically in as a priority concern area. It hasn't gone off the map. I mean, but and there's different speculations. Both of those surveys sort of offer their observations as to why that might be, including that the uncertainty is just sort of, in a sense, deprioritizing hiring. There's also, it's possibly the and just like trying to address other issues right away. But I don't think anybody knows. Do you guys have a theory? And like, why is that going down on the level of concern?
My theory is I think they've accepted what the new norm is, so to speak, and have figured out that they need to put in the either the training program or the 30-60-90 day stuff, or the onboarding needs to change to support bringing people in to be successful. And now that doesn't become as big of an issue because they've already addressed it. That's one theory for some of the for some of the manufacturers. I can't say it's all of them, but that would be one theory. I know I've got one client where his onboarding process, we've got it dialed in. We got a couple new hires coming in and they know exactly what to do. So they weren't as concerned about the skill level. They're more concerned about the fit.
Mm-hmm. I like that. It's not about the skill. It's about the fit.
I can go so many places. We're just going to leave that alone. Not safe for work.
No.
You're the one going there.
You said it.
Twice. You said it twice, and I needed that because I didn't get it at first. My little innocent brain just wasn't keeping up.
Oh my god! We're gonna have to put this on a. Never mind. I'm not okay. Anyways, my comment, I heard something recently and I don't remember the specific source, but like the high school graduates right now are like the hardest, are harder working than the millennials right now. That's what I've observed somewhere. I wish I had the source of it, but I'm wondering if that's a factor, like this graduating class now is more determined to start working. And I think there's a bigger push to get into the trades because of the technological advances that are happening, where there's going to be less need for, you know, sitting in front of a computer type jobs in the future here.
I think there's some of that. I also think there's just a shift as to what the value of education is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And COVID has accelerated that, in my opinion, than anything else, because the universities failed, in my experiences, failed miserably as how to handle that and then recover after that along the way. So the value of education to folks has diminished. You've seen Steve's over in Michigan. So the business school, University of Michigan Business School master's program has seen double digit decline in applications for like 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's going to go get their master's anymore. Whereas there was that trend for a generation and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not what's needed anymore. People are looking to come into an organization, do the work, be part of the organization and grow into it, not, hey, I have the education behind it, because I think we've realized that doing the job versus the education is more important. And learning as you go and not having, yes, the education is important still in certain fields and certain areas, but you don't need it for everything.
So Aaron, when you were looking at that, did the study have any thoughts or impact on how if the economic slowdown, if people were blaming the environment to adjust or shift those numbers, meaning that people are putting a pause on hiring so that it would adjust those numbers differently?
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was kind of complicated, but they did.
Just curious.
Yeah. No, there just seemed, let me see. I think, I have a quote here, and we might be able to unpack it a little bit. It says the percentage of employers having difficulty. So this is it, having difficulty finding workers dropped to 52%, which is the lowest number recorded by WMC in over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
Just 6 months ago, that percentage was 63%. So while they don't address it, but that's a really good question. And definitely in my that short time gap there, you know, with the 6 months, would lead me to believe that it is circumstantial, that there's something in the immediate environment that is reducing their hiring. They don't tie it. This is another really interesting thing. The WNC survey leaves out, at least in their reporting, altogether technology as a concern, as one of those top line concerns that Lori mentioned early in the introduction. Mm-hmm. Whereas the global survey has it right in there, including AI. AI being now its own sort of category of concern. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is what you're asking, but I do wonder if that has had an impact, and it would account for that short period of time.
Yeah. It's more just a general, like, as I'm looking at numbers like that, it's how much has the economic uncertainty truly had an impact on businesses trying to find people because they've scaled back who they're hiring and how they're hiring. But then also, because they're scaling back the number of jobs they're looking for, the pool is still there of people that are looking for jobs. So inherently, there's still the same amount of people looking for jobs. There's just less jobs for them to look for what's available. So could all of that be tying in? It's just, for me, it's always interesting when I start looking at the numbers.
I don't know about your LinkedIn feed, but I'm seeing people taking new jobs like every
left
day,
and right,
left oh, and yeah. right, all over. So I think there's been a massive shift in the employment cycle of moving from place